الحمد لله غافر الذنب وقابل التوب، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله المبعوث بالحق وسيد الخلق. ثم أما بعد، to proceed. Oftentimes we go through stages of higher iman and lower iman, and we do see in ourselves, we do perceive from ourselves and feel when our iman goes down. And those are times of emergencies, because when the iman goes down, you have to act very fast to bring your iman back up again, because there could be no time of graver emergency than to see your iman go down and to see the demise of your iman. When your heart, that is your physical heart, is dying, when you get a heart attack and your physical heart is in danger, you get taken to a hospital via an ambulance. It is a 911 call to the hospital. It's a state of emergency. But when your heart, that is your spiritual heart, is dying or about to die, many people don't pay much attention to that, whereas this is more dangerous than the death of the physical heart that you have inside your chest. What we have to understand is that there is a time where people feel that their iman goes down. There will be a time where people will feel that their iman goes down, that they are not doing the same they did before. And that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the way of Allah. That's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we as human beings are not completely consistent. We have our ups and downs. This is explained by a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only highlighted this fact, but also told us what to do. The hadith was reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Hadith was reported by Ibn Hibban from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the companion of the Prophet. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَرَّ وَلِكُلِّ شَرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَرَّ وَلِكُلِّ شَرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ شِرَّتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى غَيْرِهَا أو إِلَى غَيْرِ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ هَلَكْ. Most certainly for everything, and that means also for everyone, there is a time of activity, activeness, energy. That is a time of hard work. That is a time where you are running to Allah, hastening to Allah. There is a shirra, time of energy, time of activeness. وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتَرَةٍ. And that will be followed by a time of weakness, lassitude, lethargy, laziness, inactivity, when you are not doing the same that you did before, when you're doing much less, when your walk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets much slower, to a point of even complete pause. وَلِكُلِّ شَرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ شِرَّتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي. So for he who will abide by my sunnah during his time of energy, so he who will abide by my sunnah during his time of energy will prosper. And he who will depart from my sunnah during his time of weakness or lethargy, he will be destroyed. In a different narration that was also authentically reported by Tirmidhi from Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شِرَّ ولكل سرة فترة، فإن صاحبها سدد وقارب وقارب فارجوه، وإن أسير إليه بالأصابع فلا تعدوه. It is the same like the other hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, but Abu Huraira's narration is somewhat different. Radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. In Abu Huraira's narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for everything there is a time of energy, time of activeness, followed by a time of weakness, sluggishness, slowness. So, he who will try to be correct and hit his target or come close to his target, in other words, try to be moderate during his time of energy, then there is hope for him. And he who will be pointed out, ushira ilayhi, like people will point to him and say, look, he prays all the night, he fasts every day, he does this, he does that. And he who will be pointed out, فَلَا تَعَدُّ, do not count him amongst the righteous. Do not count him amongst the righteous. Meaning moderation during the time of energy, during the time of activeness, you need to be moderate. And you should not show off your worship, you should not show off your good deeds, but you have to hold on to moderation. Hold on to moderation. Because it is not the reputation that you seek. It is the proximity to Allah, closeness to Allah, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is his prescription for the time of sirra, the time of energy, to be moderate and to follow the sunnah and to not deviate from the sunnah. And his prescription for the time of fatra is to also hold on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The time of weakness or the time of sluggishness, you have to still hold on to the sunnah. And today we will talk briefly about how to hold on to the sunnah during the time of sluggishness so that you can regain your energy, so that you can recoup from your sluggishness or lethargy and regain your energy. In other words, how to re-energize your iman when you are down, when you go through a time of sluggishness. Four things that we will talk about today. One of them is the remembrance of Allah. The second one is to be involved in good deeds. The third one is to surround yourself with a righteous company. And the fourth one is to try to revive your soul, recreation. And that is not necessarily by acts of worship, but just to recreate, to try to relieve your depression if you're depressed, or find cure for your anxiety if you're anxious, and so on. These are the four main issues that we will talk about today in order for us to revive our iman and re-energize our souls and to come out of that time of sluggishness. The first one is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and the highest of dhikr is al-Quran. The highest dhikr is al-Quran, to read, to recite, to listen to the Quran, to listen to the seer of the Quran. That is the highest form of dhikr. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Most certainly, most verily, the believers are the ones whose hearts will tremble out of fear when Allah is mentioned, when Allah is remembered in front of them, and when His verses are recited in front of them, it will increase them in iman. Now, that is what we're working on now. We are in the time of sluggishness. The iman has decreased, and we feel that our souls are sluggish in the pursuit of Allah's pleasure. In the walk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have become slower. We want to increase the iman. And Allah tells us, this is how you increase the iman. وإذا تريت عليهم آياته زادتهم إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تريت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. When Allah is mentioned, is remembered, their hearts will tremble out of fear, will become calm and serene and quiet out of fear. And when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses of the Quran are recited, their iman will increase. But that is not when the verses are recited and we're listening to them as if we're listening to a nasheed. That is when we listen and ponder and contemplate and try to understand the meanings and try to live with the ayat of the Quran, the verses of the Quran, and try to reflect on our reality and see how those verses talk to us today. What do those verses say to us today, and reflect on the reality that we live in. Not just to chant it like you chant a nasheed, because that's not what the Quran is for. Yes, we do chant the Quran and we do improve our voices with the Quran so that eventually the meanings will have a greater impact on our hearts and souls, not just to sing it or chant it. So that is remedy number one, is to continue to be in remembrance. And this remembrance does not mean that you will remember by your tongue only, though the remembrance by the tongue is part of it. لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. Let your tongue always be moist from the remembrance of Allah. So you move your tongue. This is part of the remembrance, but this is not what the remembrance is all about. The remembrance is when you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Your heart is in remembrance at all times. Yes, your tongue is moving and saying, you know, the azkar that are prescribed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic azkar, and we have to always abide by his sunnah. Even with the azkar, we have to find the formulas that he prescribed, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most knowledgeable of his Lord. So whatever he says, whatever he did, whatever azkar he maintained is what we seek. Like you read al-azkar by Imam al-Nawawi, may Allah bestow mercy on him, and authentic books that will teach us the authentic azkar from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that will be quite helpful for us to know which azkar are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because each one of them is like a formula, equation, and it has a perfect balance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be most entitled to reaching at that perfect balance. Even if it did not come directly from Allah, and if it was from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is the most entitled to finding the perfect balance and how to make that dhikr a perfect equation that will bring us closer to Allah and not lead us astray. So we continue to be in remembrance with our tongues and with our hearts, and be always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when we stay silent. Your heart is conscious of Allah, and silence is what is prescribed for me now. Therefore, I'll stay silent now. I will talk now, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of me now, and so on and so forth. So dhikr, including the greatest of all dhikr, which is the Qur'an, with contemplation, tadabbur, with tafakkur, with ta'ammur, pondering and contemplation of the meanings of the Qur'an, and reflection on the reality. The second is good deeds. And good deeds certainly will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the ideology of Ahl al-Sunnah, the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah, that al-Iman yazidu wa yanqus, yazidu bil-ta'a wa yanqus bil-asiyan. That Iman increases and decreases, fluctuates. It increases with obedience and it decreases with disobedience. Your Iman, my Iman, is not like the Iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Therefore, there is a difference. There is a room for improvement. There is a room for the Iman to increase. So it increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. Which Amal? We're talking about a time of fatra, a time of sluggishness. And we're not saying that you will be the same like the other time of strength, of activeness, of energy. You will be slower, and that is fine. That is human. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you accountable for slowing down at times, because it is human. But what we have to do here is the following. Number one, make sure that all of the obligations, that particularly the pillars, Salah, Siyam, Zakah, you do not compromise the obligations. You do not compromise particularly the pillars of Islam. As-Salah, As-Siyam, Al-Hajj, Al-Zakah. These are the pillars of Islam. Make sure you don't compromise them. The prohibitions, particularly the enormities, make sure you don't come close to them. Make sure you do not approach them. Yes, we understand that you may not be doing the same as you did before. You may not be doing as much ta'at and sunan and nawafil and supererogatory acts of worship like you did before. But at least this is the bare minimum. This is the bare minimum. The car, you may do away with the AC, the air conditioner. You may do away with, you know, the leather seats. You may do away with much in the car. But you can't do away with the engine. You can't do away with the wheels. These acts of worship are the engine and wheels. So if you give up those acts of worship, you have no car. You can't travel any distance. You can't proceed on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have to give up certain things, do not give up the bare minimum that will keep you on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the right track to Allah. Keep in mind, there is a difference between someone who is on the path and he stumbles and falls and rises and continues to walk, and someone who turns his back and walks away. The first one is most entitled to Allah's mercy. The second one will have abandoned Allah. Nasullah fa'ansahum anfusahum. They forgot Allah, so he made them forget themselves. He would have abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not entitled to the mercy like the one who stumbles and falls and then stands up and continues the walk and then falls and so on and so forth. So continue to be on the right path, in the right direction, even if you are stumbling and falling. Stand up and continue the walk. But keep the bare minimum, which is the obligations, and to stay away from the enormities, the prohibitions, particularly the enormities. That is number one. Number two, if there are certain consistent deeds that you used to do on a regular basis, do not give those ones up. Maybe you can give up the random ones that you used to do every once in a while. But the consistent ones, do not give them up. Because those are the ones through which you can hold on to the path that will bring you back, and will bring you back, you know, to your state of energy, and will bring that state of energy back to you. Like if someone is used to praying, you know, two rak'ahs before Fajr, for instance, two rak'ahs before Salat, before Fajr, that's before Adhan, and Fajr, he's used to praying two rak'ahs during that last part of the night before the Adhan of Al-Fajr. And he has been doing this for 15 years. And it is your time of sluggishness. But please do not give up those two rak'ahs, because those two rak'ahs are your means of reconnecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that was reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ حَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْبِ. Most verily, the most beloved deeds by Allah are the consistent ones, even if they were little. Even if they were little. So those most beloved deeds, those two rak'ahs that you have been praying for 15 years, those are the most beloved deeds to Allah. If you must give up something, do not give this one up, because it is more beloved to Allah than other actions that you may be doing on a regular basis. So that's the second thing in terms of doing good deeds. The third thing in terms of doing good deeds is to do the deeds that will make your heart tender and kind, because these are the deeds that will be more likely your ticket back to, you know, the fast lane, the fast track to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deeds such as, you know, taking care of the orphans, such as looking after the sick and looking after the needy and so on, those deeds will make your heart kinder and will make your heart more tender, and those deeds are more likely to bring you back to your first state of energy. Things like visiting the graves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور ألا تزوروها فإنها تذكر الآخرة." I forbade you from visiting the graves. But now visit them, for they remind you of the hereafter, for they remind you of the hereafter, washing the dead and visiting the graves, and visiting the sick also, you know, and particularly people in terminal stages, particularly people in the intensive care units, and so on and so forth. All of this will make your heart kinder and more tender, and will bring you back to the true reality, to the highest reality of this life, which is we are here for a purpose, to worship Allah, and we are going back soon. It is a transient stage, days that will go by, and we should go back soon. Therefore, let's not forget that we are about to return, and we are about to reach our destiny. Things of that nature, such as washing the dead, visiting the graves, walking in funerals, visiting the sick, taking care of the orphans, all of this, these acts of kindness, they have huge reward, and we can't talk about each and every one of them and the reward of each one, but they have a huge reward. Beside the reward, they will bring you back. They will bring you back to a state of energy. They will re-energize your soul, your spirit, and make you keen to walk faster to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all about good deeds. The third one that we have to hold on to is the company of the righteous. The company of the righteous is extremely important during times of sluggishness, slowness, during times of inactivity. We have to maintain the company of the righteous. Because if you do not have the inner energy to proceed, at least to have someone guide you, at least have someone pull you, at least to have someone next to you to remind you when you forget, and to help you when you stumble and fall, to help you rise, to give you a helping hand, or when you fall in a hole, someone can actually pull you out of that hole. And if you don't have people like this, and if you surround yourself by people who are less than you in iman, less than you in ta'a, how is it that you're going to be helped? Who's going to pull you up? Who's going to pull you out of the hole? Who's going to remind you when you forget? Who's going to prop you when you're about to fall? No one. Because they need help more than they can help. Those who are less than you in iman and ta'a. And therefore, you must surround yourself with the company of the righteous. And those masajid are buyutullah, the houses of Allah, the arks of Noah for us. We have to fled to them for rescue. So when you feel qaswa in your heart, cruelty in your heart, distance in your heart, then come to the masjid, because you are most likely to find someone who will remind you, most likely to recite some ayat from the Quran, most likely to hear about some janazah, most likely to hear about a brother who is sick in the hospital, and you go and visit them, and so on and so forth. So surround yourself with the company of the righteous. Because أَمَّرْءُ عَلَىٰ دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظَرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلُ. Everyone follows the religion of his comrades. So let each one of you select carefully their companions. And sometimes we don't find companions that can pull us up, that can hold on to our hands and pull us out of the hole or pull us up. And during those times, we have to seek the company of the best and most righteous. That's the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Read the seerah of the Prophet and his companions. That is a great tool of re-energizing your iman. Because their history, their biographies, their seerah is full of meanings of sacrifice, commitment, devotion, dedication, generosity, courage, and so on and so forth. The meanings, the virtues that we need the most during our times of sluggishness. So if you don't have that company around you physically, find this company in the books. Find this company in the history of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions radiallahu anhum. The last one is recreation, to recreate. Because the hearts, al-qulubu tamal, the hearts become bored and sick. And you need to revive the hearts through recreation. And that is something that the Prophet ﷺ prescribed. That is something that the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim used to do. In fact, one of the tabi'in said, لم يكن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متماوتين ولا منحرفين بل كانوا يتناشدون الشعر ويذكرون أيام جاهليتهم. As reported في مصنف ابن أبي شيبة by ابن أبي شيبة in his مصنف with a sound chain of narrators. He said that the Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not look like dying people. And they were not deviant at the same time. They used to يتناشدون الشعر, which was to chant poetry. They used to chant poetry and remember the days of their jahiliyyah, to laugh at themselves, to laugh at what they did in the time of jahiliyyah and say, alhamdulillah, look at where we were and where we are now. So the Sahaba used to do this and to chant poetry and to sit down with each other and to recreate. And the Prophet ﷺ prescribed all of this for us to the point of even seeking medicine. Seeking medicine is not haram. If someone is truly depressed, someone is truly anxious, the Prophet ﷺ, as reported by Bukhari and Muslim, said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالتَّرْبِينَ فَإِنَّهَا تُجِمُّ الْقَلْبَ وَتَذْهَبُ بِبَعْضِ الْحُزْنِ. I prescribe for you tarbina, which is boiled barley, for it relieves the heart and removes some of the sadness away, or takes away some of the sadness. So that boiled barley, even if someone would have to go to a psychiatrist when all other means fail to bring him out of his depression, if he is in a state of depression, then if someone goes to a psychiatrist and takes medicine to help him for a few months or half a year, 1 year, so that he can come out of that state of depression, that would be consistent with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and would not be a deviation. For he prescribed chemical means to relieve the heart, which is tabina, the boiled barley that he mentioned. And that boiled barley, by the way, and it is part of the miraculousness of his sunnah, has the precursors of serotonin, which is the substance used to relieve depression. Most of the medications that are used for the relief of depression nowadays, they are serotonin agonists, which they enhance and increase the serotonin, and that tabina has the precursors of that serotonin. So try to recreate and find good recreation, wholesome recreation. It is the summer, and we should be encouraging, you know, the people who are in charge of the community, our different communities, to make sure that the summer will be full of activities, particularly since our youth are going to have some time now, and this time should be kept busy in wholesome activities, wholesome fun that will bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give them the recreation and rejuvenation they need for their souls.